This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Have you ever been to a surprise party? A really good one with a lot of people, where whoever planned it does a really good job planning it, and there were no cards out front, and the secret never got out of the bag. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been a part of one of those great surprise parties? Or like the person has no clue, and they pull up into the driveway, and there's no cars anywhere, and they just think they're rolling into home, or a friend's house, or the restaurant, or wherever they're rolling in. They just think they're off to a normal, like, night, and they roll in, and you're in the room, and you see them walking up the sidewalk, and everybody's like, be quiet, be quiet, shh, turn the lights out, turn your phone off. Have you ever been in that moment, you know? Maybe you've been on the receiving end, you know? When you walk through the door into a dark room and the lights go on and everybody that you know and love and is close to you, except for that one person who invited them, but they yell, surprise! Have you been in that moment? Surprise party. In our text this morning, Jesus is painting a picture. Jesus is giving us a scene. Jesus is giving us a snapshot at a party that happens in heaven. And so I'm titling this morning's sermon, Heaven's Party Planners. Now, before you stress out, like if you're like one of those people, like, please don't ask me to plan a party. This is a different kind of planning a party, all right? But every one of us are going to have an opportunity this morning to plan a party. And I want you to see it in Luke chapter 15 with me. Luke chapter 15, you follow along in the sacred scriptures as I read Luke chapter 15, verse 1, Heaven's Party Planners. Here we go. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near and hearing him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them a parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Well, this is an interesting scene, isn't it? Jesus is receiving and eating with sinners, and the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're grumbling about it. This is not a new scene. This happens often. God's unfolding plan is being revealed in Jesus, and they don't like all the fresh word, the new way. They don't like Jesus. They're not following him yet as the Messiah. They're not receiving him as God's anointed one that he is sent, and they're always grumbling about what Jesus is doing and what Jesus is teaching here. And here Jesus is actually sitting with, receiving, and eating with sinners. The one sentence message to summarize this whole text this morning is just simply this: proximity with a purpose leads to a party. Now, I'm going to unpack that this morning, but I want you to just kind of get your mind wrapped around this one sentence: proximity with a purpose leads to a party. And this is what they were grumbling about, is Jesus' proximity to sinners. So he wasn't just kind of passing them on the road. He was saying, hey, let's hang out and let's do dinner together.
Let's slow down and let's wait for the food to come and let's be in one another's presence for an extended period of time. Now, why would the Pharisees, why would they grumble about this? Well, they knew God's word, didn't they? Why would the scribes grumble about this? It's because they knew God's word. So they knew scripture like Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says this, Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So this is just one little snapshot from the Old Testament that the burden of the Old Testament is that God's people were to be a peculiar people, separate from the world. That they were to be a particular kind of people, holy and set apart for God's purposes. So much so that in this Psalm, Psalm 1, we see that the blessed man was the one that didn't eat with sinners. The blessed man was the one that didn't surround himself with sinners. And the Pharisees and the scribes knew that that's what God's word had said. But God was unfolding his plan. Listen to this, church. God was unfolding his plan incrementally. And as Jesus stepped onto the scene, God continues to unfold his plan. And Jesus says, "I came with a purpose. And my proximity to these sinners is driven by and motivated by a purpose." And then he tells a parable. And his parable explains his purpose. What was the parable? Well, you lost a sheep. And you've got 99. And that one sheep is so valuable to you, you leave those 99 and you go and you search and you look and you search and you find that one and you put it on your shoulders and you come home and you call your friends because you found that one sheep that was lost and you throw a party. Jesus is painting a picture for what his purpose was. Not just his purpose in eating with sinners, but his whole life purpose to come and to seek and to save those that are lost. So then he tells another little story about a woman who loses a coin, something really valuable to her, so valuable that she sweeps the whole place, lights a lamp, and she's looking, she's searching. And Jesus tells this story because it's his hope and anticipation that God's Spirit, that when Christians for centuries read this parable, they'll hear, "God is looking for me. God's looking for me. He's searching for me." Unless, of course, you're like the Pharisees and the scribes and you think that you're righteous all on your own. If you think you've just obeyed God at every step of the way and every moment of every day and you don't need a righteousness outside of yourself, you actually have a righteousness of your own and that's enough. But that's silly, isn't it? That's just crazy. We've all fallen short of God's glory. That's why Jesus came, to die, paying the penalty for our sin, to rise from the dead so he could clothe us with his righteousness. And he's painting this picture in stories saying, "I came with a purpose to seek and to save the lost." Jesus had a purpose for his proximity, and that was to pursue sinners. You think about it, you just think through the Bible. If you're new to the Bible, let me just kind of tell you, this is what God has been doing all along. Adam and Eve, the first human beings that were ever created, sinned against God. And as soon as they sinned against God, they felt shame. They felt shame, and in their shame, they hid from God. They went and they hid from God. And so God, what did he do? He pursued them. He chased them down. They were hiding, and he pursues them. You think of Moses. Moses was kind of going on his way, and God shows up and pursues Moses through a burning bush. All throughout history, we see God pursuing his people. I think about Saul, and Saul was a persecutor of Christians. Saul literally participated in the killing of Christians, and God pursued Saul and showed up in his life and changed him and spoke to him and called him to himself and called him into a relationship with God and then called Saul to be a church planter, and now his name is Paul. And God pursued Paul. I think of God pursuing Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary, and he pursued Joseph in a dream. So God has all along has been pursuing his people. And why was he pursuing them? Well, for two reasons. Look back at verse 2 with me. We see this. It's what he was doing with the sinners in verse 2. Look at verse 2 with me. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So let me ask you this question. When do you feel most unwelcomed in the presence of God? When do you personally feel the most unwelcomed in God's presence? You know when I feel unwelcome in God's presence? It's like the moment I sin. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like that moment I sin, I feel like I'm so unworthy, I'm so unholy, I don't deserve to go into God's presence. And often that shame kind of creeps in like Adam and Eve. And rather than running to God, I just kind of slowly distance myself from God. And you know what sometimes I think about? You know what? No, I just need a day of obeying God and then I'll come back to God. So in that moment, I'm trying to approach God with my own righteousness. Do you see that? I'm saying, God, no, God, give me a couple of days to obey you, and then I'll really, really enjoy your presence. And what I'm saying is, God, I think that I can relate to you and approach you and be in a relationship with you based upon my own righteousness. But let me just ask you this morning, do you wash off before you get in the shower? I mean, if you do, you're just kind of a weirdo, right? Like, who washes off before they get in the shower, right? No, you just get in the shower, right? And so listen, in the moment that you sin, God doesn't want you to go and say, hey, you know what, time out, let me like clean my act up and let me get everything straight before I come to you. No, God wants us to come to him in our brokenness and sin the moment we sin. The moment we sin. And so what he wants us to know in this little story here is like, he seeks us when we don't seek him. The lost sheep, he's going around looking for it. He finds it and he throws a party. The lost coin, she lights a lamp, she's sweeping the floor, she finds it, she calls her friends, she throws a party. And so what Jesus is giving us is both an understanding so that we today understand that the moment we sin, we're welcome in the presence of God, not because of our own righteousness, but because of who Jesus is and what he did for us. And Jesus, listen, Jesus wants us to repent quickly. He wants us to repent immediately. He wants us to know we're welcome in the presence of God when the fumes of our sin are still on us. We turn to Jesus. Jesus was receiving sinners and eating with them. That's what verse 2 says. He was receiving them and eating them. And I just think, man, that's so different than the way the world works, isn't it? The way the world works, and you've experienced this, is that the world receives us when we do something impressive. You know what I mean? I just had a buddy, I was talking to him this week, and he has a kids ministry. Some of you may follow him on Instagram. It's called Cross-Formed Kids. And it's a brilliant little ministry where he's equipping parents to be the primary disciple makers of their kids. It's awesome. Follow at Cross-Formed Kids and you'll be encouraged and equipped and enriched. And anyways, his Instagram handle just recently crossed over 10,000 followers. And what he told me this week was, he's like, dude, people are treating me really differently now that we crossed over to 10,000 followers. That's the way the world works. We kind of have this standard of, if you impress us, we'll receive you. If you accomplish this, we'll receive you. If you can do this, we'll like you. We'll hang out with you. We'll affirm you. We'll accept you. And Jesus says, that's not the way I work. If you sin, I receive you. If you blow it, I receive you. If you fail, I receive you. If you turn to me and all your brokenness on your worst day, I will receive you. I won't turn you away. That's actually why I came, is to receive you, to seek you, to find you, and to bring you into a relationship with the Father. That's what Jesus is. Jesus says, all those folks that say, you got to impress me to be accepted and to be received and to be liked, I'm not like them. You fail me, I'll receive you. You disappoint me, I'll receive you. You fall short, I'll receive you. You don't impress me in any way, I want you. I want you. Why does he want us? Well, what is he doing next with the sinners? Verse 2 says he receives them and he what? Eats with them. Don't you love kicking back over a really good meal with your favorite people? Like, I don't like going to dinner with annoying people. do you know what I mean? Right? Like, if we're going to eat Italian, I want to make sure I like those people. Because Italian usually takes a little longer, right? You're just going to sit back and it's going to be a slower evening, right? And I'm thinking that I want to sit by people I really like. And here's Jesus eating with sinners because he really, really likes us. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? So I don't know what you came in here this morning thinking about what God thinks about you, but he wants you and he wants to eat with you. What does that mean? He wants a relationship with you. Jesus was seeking sinners. And it was a news flash to the Pharisees. And this was kind of a new unfolding revelation of God to say Jesus is in close proximity with sinners because he has a purpose. And this purpose leads to a party. In other words, when sinners come to their senses, when they wake up from their slumber, when they realize Jesus is the way and Jesus is the purpose of my life and Jesus is my Lord and he's my Savior, when we wake up and see that, a party erupts in heaven. Because it's the fulfillment of all of what God always intended. You go back to that like party mode, you know, when you're throwing somebody a surprise party and they walk in the door and the lights go on and everybody else surprise. Like that's what's happening in heaven when a sinner turns away from their sin and turns to Jesus. So this morning, if there's a question in your heart of, am I welcome in God's presence? Am I welcome? Am I welcome in this church? Am I wanted by God? Jesus told a story. He broke it down so simply so that you would have lodged into your soul, anchored in forever, this absolute answer, yes, God wants you. He came to seek you. He's searching. When we're uninterested in him, he's searching for us. That's really good news, isn't it, church? So in that moment when you feel the most unwelcome in God's presence, listen, he's not just putting up with you, he's pursuing you. And he's not put out with you, he came for you. And so in that moment, Jesus is at the table, and you're off doing something stupid and sinful, and you feel welcome to sit down at the table and speak with him, what does he say? Well, he says, I have a better way. I have a better way than that way you're living. I have a better way. I have a better path for you. I have a more fulfilling path. That's why our mission here at Real Life is delighting in God and discipling others. It's because it leads to the fulfillment, our vision, a flourishing people in a multiplying movement. In other words, when we delight in God, sitting at the table with Jesus, and we have a relationship with him, it leads to flourishing. And listen, friends, Jesus wants your life to flourish, but it only happens when you sit at his table and you delight with him and you kick back and you're like, I don't want the food to come yet because I'm talking to Jesus and this is my meal, the bread of life. You see it? Have you ever lost something that was really valuable to you? You like called out all the... You know, you called out, stop what you're doing, right? I lost a contact. Don't move. Have you been there? Have you ever lost a ring on your honeymoon? How do you break that to your spouse? Can you imagine finding a ring that you lost like 10 years after you lost the ring? Can you imagine how exciting that must be? What about if you found it in this kind of place? Look at this picture. What if you found the ring that you lost there? Somebody obviously was digging the weeds out of their garden and their ring fell off. And years later, they go and pick their carrots and there's their ring. And some of you are thinking, that's unbelievable. I don't even think that's real. That had to be the only time in history that's ever happened. No, there's another time. Look at this one. There's a diamond on that ring. Yeah, what are you having for dinner tonight? Carrots and potatoes, right? You got to pull that. And there's the ring. There it is. Can you imagine? There's this family, and they were visiting Fiji, and they met this taxi driver. And have you ever been to a place on vacation where somebody in that native town, like, they just welcomed you in with a heart of hospitality? Do you know what I'm talking about? And they just become your favorite person ever, and you're like, you remember them forever. You're like, you remember that guy when we visited Florida, and he was from there, or whatever it is. And they just, like, in a minute, you feel like you've known them your whole life, that kind of, you know. And can you imagine going to a place and then 13 years later going back in a city of a million people? Fiji has 890-something thousand people. Can you imagine visiting Fiji and interacting with the people there and then going back like 13 years later and bumping into the same person? Look at this. 13 years later, they find the taxi driver. Can you... What kind of party is going on in this moment, right? Like, do they bump into him and they're like, it's you! Like, you know, it's like, is that you? It's you! You imagine, like, the celebration that's going on there? You go to your garden and you pick up the carrot and you're like, it's my ring! You know? Like, that's the kind of party that happens in heaven in the presence of the angels when one sinner comes to their senses and hears the invitation of Jesus to eat with him, to delight in him, to know him. That's what happens in heaven when one sinner says, I'm done with this crazy mess. I'm turning to Jesus. I'm going to start living my life with purpose. I'm going to start delighting in God. I'm done chasing all this stuff. I'm done living for myself. I'm turning to Jesus. A party erupts in heaven, friends. That's why we're doing what we're doing here at Real Life. It's why we're doing it. I got a text this morning from our mission partner in London, England, Thomas West. Here's a picture of his family. Here's Thomas West. Look at this beautiful family in London, England. Last Sunday, they launched their very first worship gathering with over 50 people. Just amazing in London, England. And because of your generosity, we're able to support them. Why are we doing that? It's because Jesus came with a purpose to seek and save the lost. And parties erupt in heaven when people in London turn from their sin and turn to Jesus. And we want to be party planners. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, he texted me this morning, which would have been like Sunday night, or rather, when did I get it? I don't know. I got it like last night, but it was like Sunday. They had already had their deal. They had more people the second week than they did the first week. And that typically doesn't happen in church planting. Typically what happens is you have a big gathering and all your well-wishers come out your first gathering, and then it drops off to about half that the next week. And they had more people this day, yesterday, now in London, than they did. That's why we participate in missions, is because Jesus came to pursue the lost. That's why we've bought land. And that's why we're building land, is because we want every broken sinner to know Jesus receives you. And we want a place of our own where we can open the doors wide and we can say to your friends and your coworkers and your family and every brand new person moving into the neighborhood, Jesus is for you. And that's why we're going to build a building on this land and open our doors wide, and we want everybody to know this is the priority. And so the temptation for a church is, as we grow, is to start every ministry under the sun and for us to slowly, without realizing it, have our mission drift off focus. And church, I'm just here to say we're going to stay focused on being heaven's party planners. And we're going to stay focused on helping people come to know Jesus and helping them to know that Jesus is seeking them. And that's what we're going to stay focused on. It's why one of our values at Real Life is margin for mission. It's why we want to fart. It's why we want to fight. That was weird, right? All right. That didn't happen in the first service. You know, after the first service, I was thinking, we're probably going to... Okay. Thank you. That's why we want to... I have no idea what I was going to say. I really don't. It's great. I know it was fight, but I don't know what we're fighting for. I mean, there's a lot we're fighting for. Thank you. Yeah. Every one of us live insanely busy lives, and they typically don't honor God because we run at a breakneck pace, and we want to fight with you for margin in your own daily lives so that you can actually know the people that God has put in proximity to you. Do you see that? Do you see it? And so we want to live in proximity with the broken, with a purpose, because that really does lead to a party. Our worship team's going to come up this morning, but I just want you to imagine just for a moment. Can you just imagine, like, if we were all gathered in here for a surprise party? Can you imagine that just for a moment? Like, the lights are turned off, and like, nobody is, like, in the direction of the doors, and we're all kind of maybe up against this wall, and we're all gathered around here. Just look back at that door with me just for a moment. Can you imagine if we're all huddled up and somebody's about to come through that door? And we're like, shh, be quiet, be quiet. You know, turn your phone off. They're coming. I see them. They're coming. And they're getting close, and somebody's like guarding the door, and they're like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the lights go on, and we all shout, surprise! And they come in, and they're laughing, and they're crying, and they're like, what are you doing? And they're punching the person that planned it, you know, because they don't want the attention. You know? Listen, friends, listen. We don't have to imagine that, because every time you invite a friend that's far from God, and every time they walk through those doors, there's a party that erupts in heaven. It's like the drums are just getting going, because heaven knows what the Spirit is about to do in this place. When you're bold enough and when you love your friends well enough to invite them, to get them in the door, heaven, the drums are warming up because a party is about to start. Because all of heaven knows what the Spirit's about to do in opening up a heart. Do you see that, friends? So do you want to join me in being heaven's party planners today? Let's just do it. Let's just do it until Jesus comes, can we? Can we seek the lost, and can we keep our focus on seeing the lost introduced to Jesus just over and over and over again? Listen, people who are hopeless finding hope, that never gets old, right? People who have no purpose finding purpose, that just never gets old, right? The hardest heart having their heart broken before the Lord and receiving the free forgiveness of Jesus, like, that never gets old. Amen, church? Amen. Father, we pray that you would help us to just plan hundreds of parties in heaven. Father, we pray, give us a passion. Help us to prioritize the pursuit of broken sinners, Lord. Lord, do it for your glory and do it in us. We pray, and all God's people said, let's stand to our feet. Let's sing, church.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real. Keep it Jesus.